Hey, this is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, telling you to go above and Batman beyond.
Hey, this is Blade Summers telling you to go above and Batman beyond.
This is Bernard Chang.
Dan Jurgens.
This is Yoko McCann from Funko.
This is Zach from Diamond Select Toys.
This is Angelo cosplaying as Negan.
My name is Kevin, a Beyond fan, and I'm telling you to go above and Batman Beyond.
Like, three quarters of that movie, solid.
As far as Mr. Freeze goes, nice to meet you.
A live welcome from above and Batman Beyond. We are live on our YouTube channel. I am your co-host, Benjamin David. It has been a hot minute, over 2 weeks at this point. It feels so good to be back. Thanks, Beyond, for your patience. I was super sick there for over 2 weeks, probably the longest I've ever been sick. Pretty bizarre, but I'm back. The show is back, which means we return to finally talk about the IGN Fan Fest Batman Beyond table read that was admittedly like 3 weeks ago. But again, we've been out of commission. But yeah, the table read was on February 27th. It was for the classic Beyond episode Out of the Past and was directed by DCAU voice legend Andrea Romano, as well as both Batman of the Future, Kevin Conroy and Will Friedle. Cree Summer returned for Max and did the voice of Talia. And then Michael Rosenbaum came back as well for the voice of Carl and did some miscellaneous male voices throughout the episode, including a pretty good Ra's al Ghul, or I should say Ra's al Ghul, as they correct us throughout the episode, in place of David Warner. And speaking of live, last episode was another installment of our Live Action Live series, where we talk all about DC news in live action. As you know, we focus mainly on animation here on the channel, both Batman Beyond and DC animated movies. But anytime there's big news in DC live action, now we have a series to cover just that. So last episode, we talked about the super exciting press release and character designs for a Batman 89 comic, something many a Bat fan have wanted for years, me included. Now we're getting it. And from the character designs that have been released, it looks like we're also going to be getting some Beyond influence, as well as some Batman the Animated Series influence on the upcoming comic. So that comic drops digital first at DC this July, along with Superman 78 comic for the Superman fans out there, which is also, I'll probably pick that up too. I don't normally pick up Superman comics, so something new. We also talked about the Supergirl casting announced, as well as Sasha Kaye announced for the Flash movie, as well as the unbelievably badass Mortal Kombat trailer from WB. So make sure to check out that, make sure to check out that last live episode as well. Today's episode will also be available in audio podcast form, just like the YouTube channel we are above and Batman Beyond. So before we jump into it, if you're new here at the channel, please consider subscribing to YouTube. Click that notification bell so you don't miss any of our new content. And for the podcast listeners, please subscribe to the pod. You can find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Please follow us on Instagram. We are at Batman Beyond Media, and we do frequent polls and Q&As on there, which we also bring into the YouTube and podcast shows. So be sure to follow us on Instagram as well. Finally, last thing before we begin. Now, hopefully, it's working. So if it is, you may have noticed a pretty big improvement on sound as we go live. Sound is always good on the regular vids and the podcast, but not so much on our live episodes because it's from the webcam. But I finally took some time to do some testing and troubleshooting, and I'm pretty sure I figured out how to get that crisp podcast sound on the live videos. And then the GoPro's next for visuals for the camera, but this is a solid step since, again, I am a stickler for sound. It's a big deal to me. So if you've been listening to the podcast versions of us going live, it'll be just like that nice, again, crisp podcast sound instead of the not-so-nice webcam. And with that out of the way, let's hit the table read Beyond.
This is Christopher Carter telling you to go above and Batman Beyond.
All right, so let's see if anyone's joined us live. Nobody has joined us live, and that's okay. Oh, still got two people with us. That's big for us. That's good. All right, so today what we're going to cover, of course, the table read from February 27th, the IGN Fan Fest 2021 table read of Out of the Past, the cast reunion table read. Second thing, some of my thoughts on the episode itself, Out of the Past. I'll be sprinkling that throughout, you know, the episode, so it's not going to be, or I should say throughout the table read, so it's not going to be like, you know, a whole chunk of me just talking about myself. No one wants to just hear that. And then finally, hashtag bring back Beyond, which is exactly what it sounds like. But we'll save that for the end. And it ties directly in with something that was said during today's table read that we're going to talk about. So it's not just exactly what it sounds like, but it is something that kind of comes up in the video. So here's my notes on the table read. Out of the Past, Season 3, Episode 5, the original air date, October 21st, 2000. Directed by James Tucker and written by the great Paul Dini. I didn't know that until tonight. It was written by Paul Dini. So some stuff up front. The guy from IGN, this is for, again, the IGN Fan Fest, which is an event similar to like a Comic-Con type thing. They did other stuff. They did a big announcement for and behind-the-scenes thing, I believe, for the Snyder Cut. And there was a bunch of stuff that they did, obviously, for the fans. IGN's a beast, of course, so it's always great events. They did a fantastic job just up front, like editing wise, production wise. They did a great job with this table read, and it was awesome for them to put it together. So up front, the guy from IGN asked Will Friedle, or asked them up front, they're like, he's like, why Out of the Past? Why did you pick Out of the Past for this table read? And Will Friedle right up front was like, actually, right up front, Andrea Romano said they joke about Batman the Musical for years. Like, they joked for years leading up to this episode Out of the Past about doing a Batman the Musical in some way or another on the show, and then finally did it. Will Friedle said he liked getting young Bruce, or like kind of middle-aged Bruce. Andrea said she liked seeing that as well. Personally, for me, it's one of my favorites because of that. Like, seeing Ra's, I should say Ra's, at his most twisted, like, what he does in this episode is just so damn sick. And again, it's cool seeing middle-aged Bruce with the Paulie Walnuts, Sopranos wings in his hair. Also, Ra's is the perfect character to bring into Beyond. This I absolutely love because, you know, I mean, you can fall into the trap of contrivance of, you know, just pulling characters out of the Batman, you know, villain hat and going, what's beyond this? You know, Scarecrow beyond, whatever beyond. Whereas someone who's immortal, someone who's, you know, from another world, like, it, you not have to bring them into Beyond, but it's natural and it's not contrived. So it's never, again, as I put in my notes, contrived to bring in DC characters if they're immortal. There's that one comic with Etrigan, the Halloween comic that we covered, actually, the Eli, our co-host, at Batman underscore Beyond underscore fan page on Instagram. Eli Benson, my co-host and close friend here in the channel. Yeah, he covered that in a video on Halloween. So check that out. So, sorry. So then the guy asked favorite episodes from the cast. Because again, the whole cast was there. That was the big kind of draw of the event. Favorite Beyond episodes, Kevin Conroy, the Bat himself, said Out of the Past was actually his favorite episode. He said he had a lot of fun doing it. He loved playing younger Bruce, enjoyed doing the range. I mean, you know, normally he's doing this scratchy old voice, which we're actually going to get to. It was a fun moment of direction by the director herself, Andrea Romano. It's just so nuts seeing her, like, direct a legend like Kevin Conroy. As talented as he is, it's like the guy needs direction and needed direction. But it's about modulating to being younger and demonstrating that range that he talks about. So that was a lot of fun. We got a thumbs up. Look at us. Will Friedle, The Call is his favorite episode, but his most fun episode, he thought, was Egg Baby. So he likes The Call the best, talked about all this stuff with the Justice League, was impressed that it was like the first DCAU Justice League that we got, which it technically was. Ironically, even though it's a future Justice League, but then said that Egg Baby was his most fun episode. Andre then agreed, chimed in, said Egg Baby is probably her most fun episode and her favorite episode. And then Michael Rosenbaum often filled, he didn't mention, or I didn't catch what episode he said was his favorite, but a funny thing that I caught in the beginning here was often filled in for an actor who couldn't make it. Like, he would often come in for if someone, and I think that was this episode specifically, like, this episode was because another actor couldn't make it. Don't quote me on that if it's because of Out of the Past, but essentially that's what it what got him to be on. And then ultimately he ended up being, you know, in Return of the Joker and stuff like that. So let's get into the table read itself. If you don't, at this point, I should have said up front, but if you're not familiar with the industry term table read, it means that it's the cast doing a read of the script of the episode from the show Out of the Past. So we're not going to like watch the whole episode. I'm not going to go beat for beat like that, like a commentary or anything, but just stuff that I wrote down throughout the script. And then my comments on the episode. So Andrea did stage direction, which, you know, obviously amazing. Like, not only seeing her direct the characters, but to hear essentially a script come alive via the voice of the voice directing legend / casting genius Andrea Romano, who I had the honor of meeting at New York Comic Con 2 years ago. Can't believe I met her. She was seriously like, as much, and we're going to get into that with this, like, she was such a star of this, this whole table read. At Comic Con, that was like, I was just a starstruck with her as I was with both Batman. So yeah, Andrea did the stage direction, reading, you know, things like Terry runs up the stairs, stuff like that, that you're not obviously going to see if you're reading a script. So she read the stage direction. They did have, this is where I thought it was really well done production, because they had Out of the Past playing split screen. Like, you know, they of course have a two shot of Kevin Conroy, Will Friedle talking, but then they split screen it with, you know, or just cut to a whole shot of the, you know, really good crisp Batman Beyond footage, which I thought was cool. Like, you got to see a lot of the times these table reads are just that. It's just, so it sounds kind of dry. And interestingly, with COVID, like, it's probably something that they would never do live, but because they're forced to do it, you know, via remote, like, that's, I didn't think of that until this moment. I was honestly like, that is a product of COVID that they probably had to edit it together. But for a table read, it actually almost is more interesting because you get the visuals. Unless they did the visuals live, of course, which would be just as cool. But I don't think with editing you could pull that off. Anyway, so they had Out of the Past playing split screen. They even did some fun edits for lighting and camera zooms, like really, you know, basic stuff, but fun, cool stuff. When a dramatic thing had happened, they'd like, you know, do fun stuff with editing. They had music playing during the action scenes. That was dope. IGN did a great job, like I said, producing, editing this whole table read. I'm kind of going through my notes here, but yeah, it's cool seeing these VO legends home studio. So Will Friedle and Kevin Conroy, I'm assuming because of COVID, unless they're in a different studio, but they're voiceover legends. A lot of these guys have voiceover studios in their house, and it was like the Egg Crate stuff like this. But actual, like, this isn't a booth. This is more of a background, I'm not going to lie. But it still looks pretty cool. kind of does stuff for sound, I guess, but it's more decorative, whereas like they had the whole, you know, their whole room was surrounded by this looking stuff, you know, insulation, voice booth. And Will Friedle, we'll get to that. I caught at one point, he had like a Batman Beyond Funko Pop. That was dope. This is just some stuff up front before getting into the actual content that I just thought was cool. Like, imagine this as I go through the table read. This is what you're seeing. So, they all sent, and it's still on YouTube. I'm not like this secret video you can't find anywhere else. It's IGN YouTube. So they all sang, and if you know the Out of the Past, again, like Andrea was saying, they always wanted to do a Batman musical, Batman the musical. So that they got to do this meant that people had to sing. And then for the table read, I didn't consider this at all. And everyone there sang. Like, they all did voices for every character in the script, you know, since they were the only cast. So everything that was in this script, they had to do, which was great. And of course, having Cree Summer there, she did the voice. I mean, luckily, I guess Dana wasn't in this episode, but I think I mentioned before that, you know, Cree Summer did the voice of both Talia, Max and Talia al Ghul. She's actually Talia more than she is Max, so it's pretty dope. So their faces while they were singing, priceless. Like, you got to go just watch this table read. It's so good. So the line, it's not Schwe, it's Schwarbage. That classic line that Kevin Conroy, I had heard him say this in other places, but he said it when I got to meet him again, you know, shout out to myself, or what do you call that? Patting yourself on the back at the same event that I met Andre at New York Comic Con 2019. And he was like, you know, people said favorite line from the show, what's your favorite Batman Beyond line? He's like, hands down, it's Schwarbage. It's just like, he's just like, I love hearing an old man take some futuristic made up word and say Schwarbage. And it just he thought that just encapsulated old Bruce so well, which I agree. He's an old curmudgeon. So what is it? And then Will did. So again, there's no one else there but those four voice actors. So Will did the voice of Ace whining in the Batcave. It was so cute. It sounded like a dog. And fun fact, Frank Welker, you know, voice legend Frank Welker did the voice of Ace in Batman Beyond, and also Scooby-Doo and like every other animal ever in animation. Cree does a fantastic job. Italia, probably with a little work, I think she could have gotten the British accent down a little better. But keep in mind, this is a table read, probably almost zero prep time, right? You don't have almost any prep time as an actor. She's an amazing voice actor. No one has to, I don't have to sell. And I'm going to get into how good she was as Max. I'm going to, like, honestly, she was a standout for how, like, stepped right into the character, which was impressive, because at a table read, you know, it's going to sound like the character. Sound isn't great. Like, the actual audio isn't always fantastic and stuff, especially on a Zoom call and stuff. But, like, I don't know. Even, of course, Friedle and Conroy and Rosenbaum sounded great, but she steps right into Max's shoes. I was very impressed. Seeing Conroy do old Bruce was pretty amazing. And then I realized as I was watching it, like, we haven't seen a lot of footage of that, whereas we've all seen a bunch of behind the scenes for BTAS, Batman the Animated Series, and other roles, other Bat roles beside Beyond. Like, so many of these DC animated movies have behind the scenes of him, you know, Superman, Batman, Apocalypse, whatever, name the movie, you'll see, you know, footage of Kevin Conroy in the booth doing a voice of Batman. You don't get a lot of that, honestly, at least as old Bruce. Like, it's not that frequent that we get that. So that was kind of a cool thing, because at first I'm like, no, we must have seen this a bunch, but we kind of don't. So to get a whole dose of that, you know, if this table read didn't sound that appealing to you, if you're kind of like, whatevs about events like this, I'm telling you, especially with intercut with the video, it's not just people talking. They did a really good job, IGN. So, where am I here on my notes? I got to be more organized. Friedle has a Beyond, I mentioned this before, Funko Pop behind him in his recording booth. I'm also going to guess, I didn't focus too much or pay much attention after that, but like, I confirmed one of them had to be a Batman Beyond. But I'm going to guess that his other Funko Pops were other characters that he's voiced. Because I know he's been on, like, Kim Possible and stuff like that. So I wouldn't put it past him. Cree Summer, again, back to Cree, sounds exactly the same. Like, Friedle sounds great too, but Cree really just fell right back into the character. Like, it sounded like Max on a Zoom call. It just so good. She facially too, her, you know, facial animation and stuff throughout was just priceless.
Hey, this is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman.
Hi, I'm Benjamin David. Welcome to the DC Animated Movie Show, a podcast and YouTube series for the prestigious ongoing catalog of DC Animated Movies. I'm a filmmaker, journalist, and podcaster, and I've been covering DC animation for years now.
Hey, this is Kevin Conroy,
interviewing creators, voice actors, and superfans on my other podcast and YouTube channel, Above and Batman Beyond.
I'm going to give you Andrea Romano.
Hi.
So in this podcast, you can expect weekly episodes of DC animated news, reviews, commentary tracks, Instagram Q&A, and our 10-minute or less audio-video bite series from our YouTube channel. Once again, that's
Above and Batman Beyond.
Most episodes will be hosted solo by me, Benjamin David, but for commentary tracks and interviews soon to come, I'll be joined by various creators and superfans once again from DC Animation. New episodes of the podcast drop every Monday, so be sure to subscribe to the podcast for a big holiday premiere. You can find the DC Animated Movie Show on Apple, Spotify, the Anchor app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram to join in on the Q&A. Just like the podcast, we are at DC Animated Movie Show, and we'll also be dropping bonus episodes pretty soon, going behind the scenes of our YouTube channel, as well as our past DC Animated coverage from New York Comic Con. So this has been Benjamin David, and remember, animated we stand.
Oh, so then they get to act two. And again, I'm not going to go B for B to the story out of the past. You should have watched the episode of the friggin' animated series before the, you know, table read. But, you know, so to catch you up, act two, Andrea does this thing called level test. She goes, all right, Kevin, let's hear level test now that we're getting into act two. So they get to act two in the script. And she's like, let me hear level test. And he honestly, like, it sounds like Kevin Conroy climaxing. He's like, like, I'm not going to try to do it. But wow, like, he groans and then he goes, Andrea. Because she's always said she found him so attractive. He's so tall, obviously, the voice. You know, a lot of women did love Kevin Conroy, especially younger Conroy. And she said she would always, like, mess with him in the booth. I guess that was one of the things. Never saw that before live. So wow, I guess that's something they've been doing for years. Kind of an awkward but hilarious moment. Getting the act break also, like, so getting the act break slash commercial break announced like this on a table read is cool. Like, yet another look at how good the writing is. So act one is a perfect setup, and this is when I'll get into the meat of the episode for a moment. Act one is a perfect setup for Bruce to join Talia and go to the Lazarus pit, right? So it's like, they not only are writing this for commercial and for act breaks insofar as, you know, just moving along the story, but it's just such perfect timing that it's like, and then we later find out that Ra's al Ghul set up everything, but it really is, act one is a perfect setup. So it starts off with the musical, which is like, oh, you know, Batman's kind of this cheesy icon, this like cheesy legend. Let me check if anyone has joined us. You know, and the Schwarbage play that Bruce had to sit through, right? Then you have him looking through old photos. So that made him feel old is the point. Looking through old photos of old girlfriends. You know, you had Talia in there, Selina, Batgirl. That was sad, man. Lois Lane. Both changing attire. And again, Ra's, as we later find out, set us up. But like both changing attire and more so being unable to save that girl from danger in the middle of the road ends right there for setting up act two. Like, it's just perfect setup. You know, all that made him feel old, and perfect setup again for him to hop into the Lazarus pit. So it's cool seeing a futurized Lazarus pit. The Lazarus egg pods, as I like to call them, the capsules according to the script. But it's cool to see, like, you know, as everything should get futurized in a Beyond version, like the Lazarus pit, you know, Ra's slash Talia in the weirdest way, would apply future tech. So to see, you know, again, you saw it, these Lazarus egg pods is pretty dope. And then this is cool too, just in the episode, Terry's legitimately worried about Bruce, doesn't trust Talia for moment one. It's ironic seeing Terry as the parent figure. Interestingly, he has better judgment than Bruce because he's not close to Talia, right? He can be more objective. It's really similar to how Terry solves the big mystery in Return of the Joker and figures out how it's Tim Drake as the Joker. Like, since Bruce is so close to Tim, he's unable to accept Tim would do that and therefore unable to be objective like Terry. This is the same thing. And I just love that, you know, in addition to all the setup, genius setup of Ra's al Ghul, which is believable in someone as crazy as him. So really good stuff there. Andrea actually directs. So this was the moment I was talking about before. Like, you'd think the well, quite literally the oldest, but the most experienced person there is going to get directed, at least, let's, for lack of a better word, directly directed, but she was straight out. She like asked, so Andrea asked Conroy to do a line again. Conroy, what do I have here in my notes? Andrea actually directs Conroy to sound younger. It's funny too, because she hadn't corrected anyone until this point, but she took the job of the table read seriously. Like, she's like, I'm doing this table read. Batman didn't sound young enough, so she directed him. I just thought that was a really funny moment, you know, the master of VO, the bat himself. But to be fair, he hadn't like transitioned his voice, and this is what I was talking about in the beginning of hearing Bruce, middle-aged Bruce, is so impressive, and hearing him go back and forth from the old Bruce to younger Bruce. And just to humble brag for another minute about New York Comic Con, that was my question for old Bruce Wayne Batman, was like, you know, what did you do to get to that place to bring out old Bruce? Because BTAS is one Bruce, but now you have older Bruce. You know, what did you do to get to that place? And he said, you know, watch the video here on YouTube, but basically he said it was the anger, the frustration of not being able to do what I always say is, what does a guy do when he can't do it anymore? And when I summed it up like that, he was like, exactly, like that's, so I just brought out that frustration, and that was the voice. So it's funny to see Andrea go like, yeah, bring it back to younger Bruce. I'm like, they start over a line again. Oh, directing Batman was hilarious. So Conroy acts. Oh, and then this was cool too. Again, everyone in the script has to only be read by these four voice actors. So Conroy acts back and forth between a British guy and then Batman. So he's like, you know, we're ready to land the plane, sir. Like, that was my terrible British accent. He's like, we're ready to land the plane, sir. And, you know, and then it cuts to him being like, you know, it's Schwarbage or whatever old Bruce says. And by the way, that's – oh, sorry. So the thing that I'm about to talk about now, action direction. This was really fun to, like, hear Andrea direct the voice actors on a action cartoon. Any action cartoon, let alone my favorite, what I have a podcast about, and YouTube channel. At 1730, check it out on the YouTube IGN vid, mild impact. So these were terms I had never heard before in direction. She's like, all right, so there's going to be a mild impact. So this is what she's telling the voice actor to, like, all right, you're going to have, you know, throw a couple punches, then you're going to feel a mild impact. So you'll hear the, and then the actor obviously is like, hoo, hoo, hoo. And then you'll hear, ugh, and that's the mild impact. And then she's like, all right, so you're going to see exertions at the top of page, you know, 40 or whatever it was. And she's telling us to Will Friedle. She goes, throw a couple punches and then get choked. All three at once. You know, that was another one, was like all three at once, talking to all three guys so that they could sound like the henchmen. It was just so damn cool to see, you know, all three at once yell out like you're grunting because you got hit with this. And she is just as Lauren Tom, the voice of Dana Tan, said at New York Comic Con, she was like, you know, Andrea is, she's nice and fun and everything, like a blast, but she is laser focused. Like, don't ever lose focus while you're in the booth with her, because she just moves so fast. And then I also heard Seth Green say in an interview that, like, her ability to, like, what do you call that in vocab? Like, when you can access adjectives. So she's like, you know, you're, again, what is it? Mild impact, these exertions, stuff like that, these verbs and adjectives and just, like, ways of directing with just one or two words. She's a genius. And that's why, you know, she's a testament to why all this stuff is so good. And now you can see it. You know, Rosenbaum at one point yelled out, hell no. So he was literally, he said, like, hell no. And then he was like, oh, sorry, just kidding. And again, like, there was action music playing during the action scenes. So the music stops. And he's like, no, sorry, just kidding. And then they cut back to it. He actually did a pretty good Ra's al Ghul in place of David Warner. I was impressed, man. You know, when he plays a villain, he gets so into it too. Like, he was playing some of the goons, And like, he gets into it, and it's dope seeing him, you know, kind of act it out. The horrifying reveal that Raish sacrificed his own daughter for his immortality, and some people might not agree, but he definitely slept with Bruce using Talia's body. I know some people don't always agree with that, and they don't explicitly say it in the kids' cartoon, of course. But in my head canon, maybe I'm just sick, but it's the most Talia thing Raish could do to Bruce, could have done, is coming on to Bruce. Sorry. You know, that's part of Talia's relationship with Bruce. That's what she does. Granted, in the animated series, not just because it's a kid's cartoon, but like, she doesn't do the creepier stuff that she does in the comics. Like in the Grant Morrison stuff, I believe that she does. She's kind of a slightly more benevolent in the animated series. So maybe not. But like, I don't put it past, maybe Talia wouldn't, but I wouldn't put it past Raish to do something sick like that. So that's just a bizarre, sick thing that I've debated with people about, but I believe that's what happened. Sorry, I lost my spot here. Will and Kevin talked over each other. So this was really funny. So at one point, Andrea goes, all right, so Batman, here's what your line is going to be. And then Will Friedle and Conroy talked over each other. And he's like, I'm Batman. I'm Batman. And it was so cool. I'm like, oh, man, both Batman. Oh, man, I'm such a nerd. And then so they go back to business. And then she's like, all right, so, Will, no, you're saying, you know, this is your line and stuff. And Friedle goes right back into action. And he goes, where's Wayne? And just his delivery in Out of the Past of, like, right after he comes out of the invisibility cloak with one of the goons outside the estate and out of, you know, the Ra's al Ghul estate. And he's like, where's Wayne? Just his delivery is so good when he's Batman. And his face too, like his facial delivery, or I should say his facial animation during that delivery was so good. Would love to get the R-rated version of this episode. Again, I'm not just a sicko, but I just honestly want to see what the writers intended. Like, because he does say too, here's the other thing. I didn't notice until my notes here. Was it just a kiss? Because he goes, you know, so he goes, you know, you hit like a girl or something like that. And then he goes, at least she didn't kiss you, is what Bruce said. So, you know, if Raish is going to kiss him, who knows? Just saying. It's Raish al Ghul here. At the end, rest well, beloved. I mean, Bruce saying rest well, beloved. Because this is the thing with Talia. Like, she's a sicko. Bruce is crazy. Raish is obviously crazy. She couldn't be more wrong for Bruce Wayne than anybody else. But, like, she's genius level. You know, she could conquer the world. She could also turn to good. Like, she's got a little more anti-heroism, I think, in her than Raish. She's definitely more on the villain side of the spectrum, I'm not going to lie. But I don't know. I think that, especially animated series Talia, it's sad. And, like, he loved her, regardless of how we feel about her. It's not the point. This is the drama of the moment. This guy loved her, and rest well, beloved. What they always called each other. And, of course, Conroy, perfect delivery. Afterward, Cree Summer, you know, they were all like, this was great, this was great. Cree Summer goes, I have to say something for everyone. She, like, made sure, because she kind of stopped everyone and was like, look, it was a delight to be directed by you again, talking to Andrea Romano. Like I said before, you know, Andrea was the star, and this is what I mentioned I was going to get to this, but Andrea was the star of this table read. Like, this was her table read, which is, once again, like, you're getting Batman to come back. You're getting the other Batman to come back. Cree Summer, Michael Rosenbaum was, like, a voice legend now and all the stuff that he's done since, even with his podcast, like, the newest phase of Rosenbaum. All that. Andrea Romano, the person who was never, you know, she did tiny bit parts in terms of the voice and, like, never been on screen or whatever as an actress, at least notably. But she's the voice architect of these incredible DCAU projects that we have loved forever. And then moving on to that, our other show here on the YouTube channel, the DC Animated Movie Show, like, she's the voice director since I've been revisiting all those movies. Like, she voice directs up to, I think, Throne of Atlantis was her last or second. Either way, like 2015/2016, at least in terms of release date, 2016 was the last thing that she ever voice directed. And then she, at least in terms of the decams, and then after that retired shortly after. Right. So like, and even Michael Rosenbaum, he's like, we're going to get you out of retirement. She goes, you never know. So she said, you never know. This is then. So this was some other cool stuff. And by the way, everyone agreed with Cree when she said that about Andre. They were all like, honestly, like, Andre, you are the shit. And then some cool behind the scenes stuff from Andrea. She said the whole recording of Batman Beyond. So if you don't, in case you're not familiar, Batman Beyond was recorded in ensemble recording, which is the only show probably left that does it is The Simpsons, meaning that it used to always be done and now it's like never done. And it essentially just means like it sounds, the ensemble, everyone in the cast is, or as many people as possible in the room at the same time. They almost never do it anymore, especially with the advancement of like digital recording and shit like that. You can record stuff. Like I said, I mean, that's probably Will Friedle and Kevin Conroy's house that you're seeing all these Zoom things recorded out of. I have my own voice booth like here in my apartment. So like to hear this. So she goes, the whole recording used to be 2 hours per episode, ensemble style. So that means that like 2 hours, a whole episode would just get knocked out. That's it. And like everybody come at the same time. Oh my God. I mean, to give you an example of how rare that is, like I did the Batman Bad Blood panel, or I shouldn't say I did it, but I had the opportunity to go to that panel in 2016. And the whole cast was like, we've never met each other. Like the cast was on a panel and they're like, we've never met. Because they just don't do that anymore. There's, you know, people live in different cities and whatever. It's amazing to hear that whole recording. I'd never heard the 2 hours part. I knew about ensemble recording, like I said, but 2 hours is cool. And then she goes, and then 8 months later, everyone would come back and do ADR. So I forget exactly what ADR stands for, but it essentially just means it's like an audio thing where you come back and you do, you know, either lines that they couldn't get the sound right when they were recording it or with editing. So you have to do a line of your character, maybe when their heads turn or something, and the line still has to be in the recording. So you go in and you record that line. Or ADR could be like for fight scenes, mostly for animation, they were done after the animators. So this is another thing, like in terms of production, they would always record first the voices, then they sent off to the animation. But then 8 months later, this is at least the phase with the ADR. Apparently the fight scenes were done after the animators. So I think I knew that part, but I'm not sure I knew the 8 months fact. So that was cool to kind of just get that, even though it's not, maybe not a direct quote. I should be like, Andre Romano said it's exactly 8 months. Just cool to hear like extra facts. Again, like she said, for the most part, ensemble, she talked about the ensemble nature of it. And it's rare that they recorded Beyond separately. She said it was more rare than not that like they would record separate. So they would really do their best. Like maybe sometimes, you know, Will would be in New York or Kevin or vice versa, but they would do their best to like, and more than not, have an ensemble of Batman Beyond. And then of course, prior to that animated series. And I'm wondering if Justice League was ensemble, but, and even like smaller parts. I mean, I'm talking like Blade Summer, everybody. That's literally what ensemble means. Like, let's get everybody in one shot. We interviewed Melissa Disney here on the show. She was the voice of Blade Summer. Even in that episode, like, yeah, she had some lines, but you don't need her to be there at the same time. And it's cool that Andrea is just such a legend. She goes, the only way to record, which is interesting because probably speaking of the decams and later stuff up to 2015, like, I'm not sure she probably enjoyed those recordings as much. So maybe it was time for her to retire, even technologically, who knows? And that's also interesting to segue into what we're going to talk about next. Like I said, hashtag bring back Beyond. So this is the final thing, and then we're out of here. Actually, let's check chat. Is anyone? No one's on the chat, Patty chat. That's okay. This was cool. They're like, all right, we're going to do Q&A. It was one question that IGN, you know, randomly pulled. I'm doing air quotes for the audio listeners, but they go, can we expect a new Batman Beyond series or movie anytime soon? Andrea Romano goes, it will depend on fans to campaign ask and ask and ask Warner Brothers, and that is the way to make it happen. She goes, they all said that they're all still around. And in her words, she goes, "We're all still around and available." Now there's a guy on Instagram, literally at Batman Beyond Season 4. Shout out to at Batman Beyond Season 4. Shouldn't say a guy, a person on Instagram. Follow them. They started a campaign. Sign the petition. He's got over 400 signatures already. Like, let's get on there. Let's join it. And I talked about this. So this is what I wrote in my notes. Let's do our part and bring back the hashtag I talked about before quarantine. So prior to quarantine, I had this hashtag. And that is hashtag bring back beyond. Honestly, like, I don't have to sell you on it. We've talked about it on the podcast and the YouTube a million times. Like, there's a million reasons to bring back the show. I also just love thinking about it continuity-wise in terms of a universe. Like, it's the future. So it's the only thing that really should get a sequel. Like, a lot of people go, why do we need the there was rumors, and we did a whole podcast about it, about, like, rumors that are probably pretty likely. Kevin Smith didn't confirm, but was like, it's probably going to happen. Of Batman the Animated Series returning to HBO Max as like a reboot slash possible sequel. So everyone's like, we got a sequel. It's called Batman Beyond. honestly, even as a Batman Beyond podcaster, I didn't think about that. Eli thought about it right away, my co-host. But like, and other people said that. Look, I'm not going to argue that. But what always hit me about a future, you know, sequel show and a season, even if it's not season four, just like some kind of continuation, it's the future of the DCAU. And like, I just think it'd be perfect. Animation lives forever. You know, these people don't age on, they all sound amazing. We just heard them. It is time to do it. Like, with the rumors of the animated series stuff coming back, with Young Justice coming back, with HBO Max putting out all this stuff, if we can get a three-part, you know, Aquaman animated series, which we talked about on my the animation looks terrible, by the way. I hate to admit it. On our DC Animated Movie Show podcast, and actually on our Batman Beyond Media Instagram, I went live on Instagram, and then we recorded it for the podcast. But like we talked about, animation for that looks terrible. Look, HBO Max is looking for content. Like, Beyond, I mean, they even had a hub one day. I meant to talk about this in the podcast, and then we'll be out of here. But like, a few weeks ago, it had a whole like hub within a hub of, you know, it'll say like all the DC animated movie universe, like the whole Decamu will be in order, starting with Flashpoint, all 15 movies. Then it'll be, and then, you know, recently, of course, now that Superman animated series is on there. One time though, it had like Welcome to the Bat of the Future, and there was a whole thing just on Beyond. Like, it was a big deal when it hit in January, when Beyond dropped in January. STAS just hit, you know, like I said, HBO Max. There is a ton of enthusiasm. All the fans are growing up for Beyond. We talked about it a million times. Like I said, I don't have to sell you on it, but let's be more proactive. Hashtag bring back Beyond. And follow again at Batman Beyond Season 4 on Instagram. And that is it for our IGN FanFest 21 table read of Out of the Past. If you're new here at the channel, please consider subscribing on YouTube. Click that notification bell so you don't miss any of our new content. And for the podcast listeners, please subscribe to the pod. You can find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And for both the pod and YouTube audience, please subscribe to both, since there's plenty of YouTube stuff you're obviously not going to find on the podcast, and vice versa. Please also follow us on Instagram. Please also follow us on Instagram. We are at Batman Beyond Media. And we do frequent polls and Q's and A's, which we also bring into the YouTube and podcast shows. So be sure to follow us there as well. Coming up, of course, today, actually, being March 18th, Snyder Cut, baby. Release the Snyder Cut. I shouldn't be so hesitant and sarcastic, but I'm going to watch it probably tonight, if not tomorrow. Today is the drop of the Snyder Cut. I think it was like 3 a.m. East Coast, 12 p.m. or 12 a.m. West Coast. And yeah, we're going to definitely talk about it. In terms of upcoming content, point is we're definitely going to talk about it. I'll probably go live sometime this week or for the next YouTube episode for a live action live series. Got to talk about the Snyder Cut, all 4 hours of it. Let us know what you think. thank you so much. For those of us who join us here on YouTube, follow us at Batman Beyond Media on Instagram. And then we also have, of course, for the DC Animated Movie Show. Oh, and before I forget, we have Batman Beyond commentaries that I've said it before. I mentioned it on the podcast and the YouTube show. Really exciting form of commentary coming up for Batman Beyond. Eli, of course, our co-host, my close friend here, is going to join us for the commentaries, but they're going to be in a special place, in a special form, audio, video, but that's all I'm going to say for now, is that it's not going to be your typical, let's say, delivery system, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and I cannot wait to tell you more about it, and that's coming very soon, next couple weeks. And then finally, sorry, the DC Animated Movie Show, that's, of course, here on the YouTube channel, and again, the podcast, you can find it on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe. Help us out. We are a newer podcast there. You know, the rate and review us on on Apple. That really helps us out. But so within just over a month, we're getting a new DCAM, a new DC animated movie, and that is Justice Society World War II. So the next string of videos coming out here for the DC Animated Movie Show is, of course, going to cover that. And the next one, I think I'm going to start with the behind-the-scenes stuff that was available on the Batman Soul of the Dragon Blu-ray, and there is a bunch of stuff on there that I'm going to kind of condense into a video, talk about that, and get pumped for Justice Society World War II. Thanks once again for joining us for this table recap, and this has been Benjamin David telling you to go above and Batman Beyond.
New episodes of Above and Batman Beyond drop every Wednesday. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on iTunes. Once again, for each new iTunes review, we'll read your review on the show. You're automatically entered in our next Beyond giveaway. Beside Apple Podcasts, you can also find the show on Spotify and SoundCloud. Again, we spend most of our time these days on YouTube, new videos every Sunday and Wednesday. Please consider subscribing there as well for frequent breakdowns of Batman Beyond, podcast clips, as well as our DC Animated Movie Show on the channel. Just like the podcast, we are Above and Batman Beyond on YouTube. Our podcast theme music is by Exsanguinator. Our podcast art is by Courtney DeLenn Slater over at CDS Graphics. Above and Batman Beyond is part of the CBI Network at ComicBookINTL on all social media. Our show's co-hosts are Eli Benson and Benjamin David. The podcast is produced and edited by me, Benjamin David. And Above and Batman Beyond is a production of Benjamin David Studios. Above and Batman Beyond is not an official production of Warner Brothers or DC Entertainment. The thoughts and opinions shared by the participants of this podcast are theirs and theirs alone, and therefore do not represent the companies or organizations they happen to work for.